Let me pray for us real quick and let's get started. We're going to dig into God's word tonight. Father, we love you so much. I thank you that we can be here among all these people, God, that there are brothers and sisters in this room who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that we get to come together tonight. And with one voice, we get to shout out to you that we love you. God, we believe you with all of our hearts. And we just ask you tonight that you'd speak to us from your word, that we'd hear things from you, that you convict us of things, that you'd encourage us in things, and that we'd leave this place different because we came here tonight. And so, Father, we just give this time to you. Take our attention, hold it, keep it, and speak to us as we look at your word. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So tonight we are finishing up a series that we've been in for a couple months now. It's called Into the Wilderness. Some of you guys have been a part of that. Some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? And what we've been looking at is how Jesus went into the wilderness. And as he was there, Satan comes along and Satan tries to talk to Jesus and tempt him into some different things. And as Jesus, who is 100% God, and at the same time, 100% man, mind blower, he's looking at Satan and he's facing temptation just like you and I would. And so as we walk through this series, we're looking to see how Jesus faced that temptation and how Jesus dealt with sin. We saw Satan even take scripture itself, God's word, the Bible, and try to twist it and use it to convince Jesus to do things that would dishonor God. And as Jesus always does, he hit a home run every single time. And we've been watching Jesus show us the way to look at sin in our own lives and to resist temptation, to identify that sin. And here's why we've been doing that. Because especially in today's world, you guys are growing up, you guys are going to school, you're watching TV, and the line between good and evil seems to be getting really gray. And people seem to be telling you that everything's okay. That sin is just this kind of made-up word that old people in a church came up with, and that it doesn't really exist. So you should just tolerate everybody and their own decisions. Well, that all breaks down when it comes to your personal life, and you're trying to do the right thing, and you're trying to follow a big, strong, awesome God who's written down some really clear things to guide and direct your life, and you're having to make that decision of, is the Bible true? Are the things what in the Bible, are those things true when it talks about sin and right and wrong? Is there a clear line that God has set for us, or is everything admissible? Is everything okay? And so as we've walked through this series, we've looked at the Ten Commandments. We've looked at different portions of the Bible that talks directly about clear sin. And we say, if the Bible's clear about it, then we believe it, right? And then we've looked at some principles to say, like, how do I know when temptation comes my way? Like, if I don't know exactly where it is in the Bible, what are some principles we can look at? And we use that as a filter in our lives to understand, like, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look at his example and try to be like Jesus. Because that's what he's made me to be, like him. And so as we close this whole series up tonight, you guys walk through the Sermon on the Mount over the last couple weeks in your small groups. And so after looking at the Ten Commandments, which were very clear, right? Don't murder, don't steal, don't. And we have this list that are very clear things. We saw Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount over the last few weeks go, let me take it up a notch on you. If you even think these like hateful thoughts towards your brother, you're breaking this command, you're murdering. And he goes through each one of those and he says, it's not just the act, it's what's going on in your heart too that matters. And so tonight as we close, what I want to look at is what happens when I find myself in a place in life where I've messed up. I have sinned. It's been clear to me that something I've done has dishonored God, and now I'm standing there going, God, well now what? What do I do? What's my next step? What's left for me? And so we're going to look at a passage in James chapter 4. If you guys will open up there, if you don't have your Bibles or your phones don't have the app, we're going to have it on the screens. And as you turn there, let me just tell you something real quick. Have you guys ever painted like a house before or painted a room in your house or helped your parents do that? Like none of you guys, a few of you. Did you get really messy? Are you guys clean painters or do you get really messy when you do it? Some of you I know because I've seen you at lunch and you get like mustard everywhere. Like, I can imagine how you would paint, right? I'm a messy painter. And so a few years ago, I was painting and I was in this like tight bathroom, and imagine me, I'm a big dude in a tight room and I'm trying to paint this bathroom, and I have like my painting clothes on, and I like leaned over. I just painted one wall. I leaned over to like put the brush in that little tray thing, you know, where you like get paint on it. And when I leaned over, like, boom, the back of my shorts hits like the wall. And I feel it. It's kind of cold and wet. And I'm like, oh, I know what just happened. So I turn like this to look and see like if I got paint on myself, and boom. Then I feel the other side, like up against this cold wall. Now I have like cold paint on both sides of my brand new shorts. And whoa, hey. And so I'm like, oh man. So I go this way to look, and I hit my head on the wall, and I get wet paint all over my hair. And so I go to feel it, and then I have it all over my hands. And then I'm like, what is going on? So I'm looking at my hands as I'm walking out of the bathroom, and I step in the stinking tray of paint on the way out, and paint just splatters. And it was just a miserable, miserable time painting. And as I don't like painting anymore. That was the last time I ever wanted to do it. But as I did that, it was frustrating because like every move I made just got me deeper in a mess. It was like, I do this and I try to check it out and I mess up some more. And then I do that and then I mess up some more until I'm just a big goopy mess. And I need to tell you, like, there have been times in my life where I've been confronted with sin where that's exactly the scenario that was happening in my life. Like, spiritually, I felt like every move I made, I was just making more of a mess. I was just getting myself messier and deeper because I wasn't trying to confront sin with what the Bible says. I was trying to handle it myself. I was trying to excuse my way out of it, rationalize, change my behavior, just be a better Rob. All these different things that I thought would fix my sin problem. But the more I did that, the messier I got. And so as I'm looking at this passage in James chapter 4, I want you guys to see what his advice is to a church that's in kind of a mess. And he's telling them some stuff about why they're in a mess. Like, you're causing your own mess because you're not dealing with the root of the problem. And so let's read this together. Just the first couple of verses. We'll walk through verses 1 to 10. It says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, you adulterous people." And James is getting serious. Like, he's getting down in it with his church. And he's saying, listen, this is why you guys have a problem. You're basically murderers. And you're like, whoa, this church is murdering people? Well, probably not, okay? But remember when we went through the Sermon on the Mount and it talked about these commandments, the Ten Commandments, how Jesus said, like, it's just as bad to hate in your heart as it is to murder someone? You hear James doing that same thing, taking that teaching, and he's saying, like, your heart is full of sin. You might even be doing things that look like you're following rules. You're being good church people, but your hearts are full of sin. You're even praying and you're talking to God and you're asking him for stuff and he's not answering you the way you want. And you're like, well, why not, God? And so this church is in a mess because their hearts are full of sin and they're not dealing with that. They're just going on with the wrong motives. He says that they're trying to do this for their own passions. Even their interaction with God, their relationship with God, it was like they were leveraging it just to get what they wanted out of it. And that's scary when I think about church today. That's scary when I look on Instagram and hear some people talking from different churches and the way they talk about what Christianity supposedly is. And how if I do certain things at church, God's just going to pour money down on me. God's going to make me successful if I do this or buy that or spend money on this. Or it's like, whoa, Christianity isn't just about your prosperity here in this physical world. Christianity's heart is the fact that you're getting the greatest gift ever given, worth more than any earthly gift that could ever be given. That Jesus decides to look at you and say, you are no longer my enemy. You are now my child. And you get eternal life with the God of all creation. There's no more expensive or incredible gift than that. And when your heart focuses on that, on a God who loves you enough to send his own son to die for you, man, it's so hard to look at earthly stuff and think it's really all that. because this gift is so much better. So these people are, he's like, man, listen, you need to get your heart right. You need to focus on the right thing and understand what grace is. Look what it says next. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. All right, so you guys know all about friends, right? You guys have friends at school. This isn't a foreign concept to you. You ever been in between like two friends that didn't like each other anymore? You guys were like the three amigos, and all of a sudden this person's like mad at this person for stealing the Oreos at lunchtime or something like that, some craziness. And they're like fighting over some dumb thing, and you're like in the middle, and you're like, ah, who do I hang out with? Which lunch table do I sit at? You know, you have to like make a choice. Well, here's the deal with God in a very righteous and holy way. God says you need to make a choice, and it's not this weird little like middle school argument. This is like a holy God saying, I have nothing to do with sin. I have nothing to do with this broken world. And so you're going to have to make a choice. And this choice is a righteous, this is a good choice. To say, God, I choose you, or I choose to be a friend of the world. And God says, you're going to have to choose. Like, you can't do both. Because if you're living with the world and you're like saying, man, I want to go to all those parties and I want to be able to just cheat on my homework because it's way easier to run into school early and copy my friend. No big deal, right? Like, that's not a big deal. And be dishonest, just lie. Lying is so much easier than telling the truth sometimes because it gets me out of trouble. And like, I'm just going to like love the things of the world because it's easier and it makes me feel good. And God's over here and God's like, listen, you're going to have to make a choice. You can't experience the fullness of your relationship with me because you're too busy having this friendship with the world. And all the things that I've set out for you so you can have a right life and a full life and get the blessing of our Father, those are the things that you're going, nah, man, I don't need that. I'd rather chase the things that will destroy me. I'd rather chase these things over here that I know are going to corrupt my heart, but God, they feel good. And so we're left with this decision. God says, James tells us that God wants us to either be his friend or a friend of the world. Now listen, he's talking to believers. And this is a choice that you have to make at salvation too, right? Where you say, I no longer want to be a dead person. I don't want to just be someone of the world, Lord. I want you to forgive me and to make me brand new. And when he does that, he makes you a new man. But then you still have this pesky old flesh living there with it. And so like every day you've got this new person that you are, but you still have this pesky flesh that's always going, but don't you want this? But isn't this fun? Wouldn't this really feel good? So the cool thing about us as believers is that God gives us the Holy Spirit. And he's there and he's making war with that flesh all the time for us to fight those temptations and to encourage us. Say, don't be a friend of the world. God gave his only son to die for you, to free you from that, to free you from destruction so you could be his. And so as you find yourself in sin, you're over here and you're like, man, I woke up this morning and I realized over the last couple months, Rob, like I've messed up. I am just cuddling right now with the world. I'm fully embracing these things and it is sin in my life. And I don't even know how it happened. I don't know how I got here. God's calling you back over here. You don't have to stay here. You don't have to throw your hands up and be like, I guess it's all over. I lost. Because God's always calling you. He's standing going, come on back over. Come on back over. You're still my child. Like, it's a matter of this thing, and James is about to tell us in a second. Look what he says. In Romans 5:1. Hear this. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, that means you got saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's saying, you're either my friend or my enemy, but here's the cool thing is that Jesus has taken you and forgiven you, and he's pulled you over the enemy lines and made you God's friend. That's done. He's done that. So when you're over here and you're dabbling in the world and you're still fighting the flesh, God's still there going, come on back. Come on back. James says this next. He says, or do you suppose it's no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that He's made to dwell in us. There's where He tells us that Holy Spirit, that gift that God gave you. If you're a believer tonight, you're like, I believe in Jesus, Rob. I'm going to tell you this. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That is God Himself in you. He goes to school with you. He wakes up with you. He goes to bed. Like the whole deal, God is always with you. And He's encouraging you. And that power of the Holy Spirit is within you. And it says, James is like, don't you understand? Like God is so passionate about you leaving the world and chasing Him. His Spirit's literally living with you to help you do that. And so here's what we got to do. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Come back over. Walk back over the line. Kneel back down at the feet of your Savior. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, up to that point, it sounds really gloomy what we're talking about. He's like, hey, listen, if you find yourself over there and you're stuck in sin and you're going, God, how did I end up in a friend of the world? But I've followed you. He says, fall again at my feet. Submit to me. Draw near to me. And I'm going to draw you up in my arms and I'm going to squeeze you so tight and I'm going to pull you back over the line because you need me every morning when you wake up. The gospel is good for you every single day. He's taking our brokenness and He's pulling it close. And I love the fact that He's always there. You know, it's the sad part or the depressing part about this at first is like he's going, hey, all this laughter that you feel like you're having and the fun that you're having in the world, because it feels good. You know, it's like exciting and I'm doing all these things. And when I'm sinning and there's a stronghold in my life, sometimes I don't even recognize it's happening. And so he's like, hey, listen, first step is recognize that you're broken. Recognize that there's sin in you. And let it break your heart. Be broken over your sin. Don't treat your sin like it's this small thing and it's not a big deal. And God's just going to forgive me every time I ask. No big deal. I'll just say a quick prayer and I'll be good. And God doesn't really care. Some of us treat our sin that way like it's not really a big deal anymore. God's like, let it break your heart when you sin. You know what that's called? Repentance. You heard that word? Jesus has said it over over and over in His sermons throughout the Gospels. He says, repent, repent, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means that I break over my sin. I look and I say, God, why did I do this? And there's this like sober reverence about what I did, and I bring it before God, and I say, but you know what? I don't have to stay mourning and sad and broken over this because there's hope and joy for me, and that's the awesome part. That's the part that comes next. Look at what he ends with here. He says, if I can find it, hold on. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. So when you're willing to say, God, I messed up and I'm broken over it and I take it seriously, and you fall at His knees and you say, Lord, I want to be forgiven. It says that your repentance, He sees that and He lifts you up and puts joy in your heart again because you don't have to sit in this sad state of having sinned and being broken. You can say, I'm free because Jesus came along and said, Rob, I know you don't deserve it, but I died on this cross for you and I love you and tomorrow I'm going to love you and the next day and for all of eternity, you're going to be with me and I'm going to keep loving you. That's a forgiveness and a grace that blows my mind. I don't get why He would do that. But I guarantee you, when you read it here, you can say, God promises it. I can believe it. So maybe you're here tonight and you're like, listen, I am in a spot where this summer I just have not been living for Jesus. And I have become a friend of the world and I have these things in my life. I'm here to tell you tonight from the scripture, your case isn't lost. Like, there's still hope for you. It's just a matter of going before God and repenting and being broken over your sin. saying, God, I'm sorry. And believing that the Lord is going to lift you up and forgive you and fill you with joy so you can keep going on. So don't give up. Don't say, like, there's no hope for me. There's hope. We serve a God of hope. He took everything dead and put life back in it. If you'll get on your knees before Him and you'll believe and you'll repent and trust in Him. I just want to wrap around and remind you. We started off the series in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, and I just want to read you what we started off reading at the very beginning. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so tightly, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That means He started it, and He'll complete it. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I encourage you, if you want to live real life, you want to experience real life, not this fake broken life that the world keeps trying to sell you, but real freedom, follow Jesus. Get on your knees before Jesus and say, I want you to be my king. I'm tired of worshiping this world. I'm tired of worshiping myself. Nothing meets up to you, God. Get on your knees before Christ. You guys pray with me? God, I know it's tough to talk about a word like repentance nowadays. I know that it can ruffle feathers. We don't like to hear that we're wrong, but Lord, I ask You that in these moments, as we close tonight, I ask Your Holy Spirit to convict our hearts of places that where we need our feathers ruffled. God, would You bring to mind sin that has strongholds in our hearts tonight that we haven't been willing to acknowledge? We've been pushing aside because it's not comfortable to think about. God, will You show us the places where we've become friends of the world and You're calling us back over and saying, but You're my child. Holy Spirit, will You do that in us tonight? You do what we're not able to do. We confess we're not strong enough to do that. But You are. And You're our promise. Father, if there's those of us who have that tonight, will You cause us to repent? Lord, show me in my heart tonight. Make me repentant of those places. Help us to see You for who You are and know that You want to give us joy and hope and forgiveness. And that grace can only be found in Your Son, Jesus. Listen, if you're here tonight, keep your eyes closed for one more minute. And you're like, hey, listen, I'm like you, Rob. There are places in my heart the Holy Spirit's been convicting me about, but I've never given it over to Jesus and repented. I want to pray for you tonight. Will you let me do that? And we just slip your hand up and say, Rob, will you pray for me? That's me. Like, there are places in my heart. I just need to repent. I got some stuff I'm struggling with, and I need you just to pray. Yeah, I see your hand in the back. I see you too. I see you in the middle. Anybody else? Like, I just need prayer. I need you to ask God to do that in me because I believe if we pray, guys, God's going to do that in us. That's what He's good at. He says, I'm the author. I started your faith and I'm going to complete your faith. Is there anyone else? Like, you just confess tonight. Raise your hand and say, like, pray for me. That's me. I got some stuff I need to confess to God. Yeah, I see your hand in the middle. I see your hand back there. I see you back there too. Yeah, I see your hand. You guys can put your hands down. Anybody else? Now listen, maybe you're here tonight and you're like, who's this crazy guy on the stage? Like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Who is this Jesus? I've never heard of Him before. Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven and be able to be face to face with God, forgiven of your sin. You don't know that tonight, but it's something you want. You want to be able to leave here and say, like, I know that when I die, I know where I'm going. I know that I've been made right with God. And that's you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, will you pray for me? Like, I want to know how I can be saved. I want to know how I can be forgiven by God and be made right with Him. Will you slip your hand up so I can see that and just pray for you tonight? Anybody like that out there? Awesome. Yeah, I see your hands up front. All right, let me pray for you. God, you saw the hands and you know the hearts that were praying it without ever raising their hand. Lord, I lift those people up to you. They're submitting to you. They're humbling themselves right now in this room before you. That's what they're doing. Will you lift them up? God, will you exalt them? Will you forgive them for those places in their heart where they've been made friends of the world? Those who raised their hands for salvation, God, will you cause them to come speak with me or a leader tonight before they leave so we can explain to them how to be made right with you? Father, I want to end just by saying I love you. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for forgiving me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.